Up my dick.
Stay up.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the All 32 podcast. Chris is rumoured to be in negotiations with his agent about signing a new long-term deal somewhere. So this week it's just myself, Sean, and I'm joined by Lee. Lee, how are you, buddy?
How you doing? I'm not too bad.
Very good, mate. Very good. Exciting time in the league. Obviously a lot of news breaking over the last 24 to 48 hours. We are into what is lovely described as the legal tampering period. So, Lee, I think you've got a pretty good analogy for this for new people into the NFL in particular. Just explain what we actually mean by the legal tampering period.
Yeah, so the legal tampering period is kind of a interesting term because it's just tampering, really. So the league year opens on Wednesday, and the way that works is it's kind of the opposite of the transfer window in football over here, where all the previous contracts signed by players actually end as a new league year starts. So they've granted teams this sort of 3-day window to start negotiating with agents. And they can't talk to players, which is quite important. They can't actually visit with players, but they can negotiate with their agents and get deals in place. And this was brought in to try and level the playing field from as a few years ago they were having problems where teams were getting priced out of the market when free agency opened because they just had no idea what some of these teams were offering for players. So they brought in this legal tampering period where you can sort of talk to agents, get a sort of idea for a player's market. It helps the teams move on from players, you know, that they're never going to be able to afford, and helps players stay away from teams that really, you know, can't afford to pick them up.
Yeah, so as you say, it's an exciting time. Obviously, in today's day and age of social media, a lot of these contracts are already being reported, so fully expect that by this time tomorrow, when the league year does open at 9 o'clock UK time tomorrow evening, that all of these deals will become official. Obviously, there's some really good sources within the NFL, so we're pretty safe to say that we'll talk about these with confidence that they will happen. There is obviously some wiggle room, and we'll talk about one of those today that I think was reported as happening yesterday, and it appears to have been a change of heart overnight, so we'll talk about that one shortly. But all the rest of these, like I say, we're pretty sure most of these signings will go down. There's also been a couple of big trades across the league. So a couple of high-profile trades have gone down. We'll discuss those. And we'll also just mention a couple of players that did get designated with the franchise tag. Again, for people new into the game, the franchise tag is an option that the teams have at their disposal where they can select one player each year that they deem to be their franchise player. So this is where they can't agree on a long-term contract or potentially don't want to necessarily commit to a long-term contract with that player. They can sort of retain the rights for an additional year, but what it ultimately means is that player then gets paid the average top five salaries at their respective position. So there are six players this year that fall into that category. We'll touch on a couple of those. So we'll do this sort of around the divisions. And Lee, I know you want to get this off your chest, so we'll come straight over to yourself, mate, and we'll start in the AFC East. So obviously that's your Dolphins there. Talk us through what's happening in the AFC East and get this rant off your chest.
Right, so the Dolphins have been quiet to open free agency, which I think was expected from a lot of Dolphins fans. And probably the biggest bit of news is going to be to come. It's going to involve Ryan Tannehill, and he's a bit of a lightning rod for most Dolphins fans. He seemed to fall on the one side of he's a terrible quarterback or he's a good quarterback. But I think what it boils down to is the rumours today are the Dolphins are going to chase after Tyrod Taylor. Now, obviously, you had the pleasure of watching him start the season for your Browns before he got hurt last year. So, I mean, in my opinion, Tyrod Taylor is a lateral move. But I think the most important part of it is Ryan Tannehill is due to make $26 million this year, which is an absurd number if you don't think he's a starting caliber quarterback. But the way his contract's actually broken down, even if we cut him today and sign Tyrod Taylor, we're still going to pay Ryan Tannehill $13 million, which is absolutely insane. So to my money, you might as well keep him on the roster, because otherwise you've still got to go and sign another starting quarterback for less than $13 million a year to make it worth your while. And we saw Nick Foles yesterday go to agree a contract with Jacksonville, which we'll touch on later, for way more than $13 million. So I just think it just needs to be said, and it's probably what's got my back up a bit today, is I think we need to stop worrying about spending owners' money too much. The cap figure can be manipulated however you want. Just look at what the Eagles have done, which we'll also touch on in a little bit. But, you know, the owners are billionaires. If he's willing to spend that much money when he agreed to contract with the player, then I'm not going to worry about spending a bit more of his money. So, yeah, just got to get that off my chest. But on a lighter note, Dolphins did actually sign a player. They signed Dwayne Allen, formerly of the Patriots and formerly of the Colts. I think it's more a move just for familiarity with the coaching staff, and they get one of their guys in the locker room. They cut Danny Amendola, who they formerly knew. So I think it's just a case of trying to bring their culture in. I think that's probably the main one. And then Devontae Parker actually signed an extension today as well, which will probably have a lot of Dolphins fans irate as well. Former first round pick, but it actually lowers his money after extending him rather than picking up that fifth year option, which would have paid him nearly $10 million, which is ridiculous money for what he's produced. So yeah, that's it from my Dolphins.
All right, so just elsewhere in the division, probably one of the most active teams so far in free agency, the Buffalo Bills, completely revamped the wide receiver room. So Cole Beasley, John Brown, both being brought in terms of wide receivers. They've also added Tyler Croft as a tight end, and then also brought in a couple of other players, including Frank Gore, who, again, another player that you'll be familiar with, mate. So Bills making quite a number of moves early in free agency. Does that come as a little bit of a surprise to you?
I was a little bit surprised that they picked up Cole Beasley after signing John Brown. They've really kind of doubled up on slot receivers there. Kind of invested quite heavily, which was a bit of a surprise. I like the Frank Gore signing for $2 million. I mean, he looked last year like he could keep going. No reason to suspect he wouldn't. Unfortunately, I don't want to have to play against him twice a year, because, say, I really enjoyed watching him play. But I think that's a good pickup for the Bills. And I think they've actually probably done some pretty shrewd business. Rather than just chasing the highest price ticket free agents, they picked the guys that they clearly defined as their type of guys before free agency opened.
Yeah, just the other two teams in the division. So this will come as no surprise to anybody. New England Patriots, very quiet. Haven't really done an awful lot of business. Lost a couple of players, which was to be expected. So we'll touch on those departures shortly. Couple of bits of business for the Patriots. It looks as though there is going to be a trade there to bring Michael Bennett in from the Eagles. So obviously the versatile defensive lineman who seems to keep going year after year. Had some decent production last year as part of the Eagles squad. So he'll come across to New England. There's also talk of Martellus Bennett, his brother, coming out of retirement to play tight end. Interesting to see what happens in terms of Rob Gronkowski there, obviously. Still waiting for some news. Most surprising bit of business probably from the New England Patriots today was actually extending a tender offer to Josh Gordon. I'm certainly, you know, was a Josh Gordon fan in terms of Josh Gordon, the footballer, but I would have assumed he'd burnt all of his bridges and had his last chance, but it would appear potentially not. So I'd be interested to see what happens there. And then we can't leave the division without talking about the Jets. So huge contract here, mate, that's been reported. So CJ Mosley, linebacker, $85 million over 5 years. That was a bit of a wowser one for me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I love to play, but that's a lot of money. But, I mean, it's different. If your team is close to competing, then yeah, but I don't think the Jets are close to being a competitive playoff team.
No, I certainly agree. The other one that the Jets thought they had got over the line was Anthony Barr, the linebacker from the Vikings. But it would appear he's changed heart and will return to Minnesota instead. Last thing to touch on in the division, just in terms of the Jets, a couple of wide receivers added. Josh Bellamy, small sort of outlay on that one. But one that has had a bit more money thrown his way is Jameson Crowder. So from the Redskins, comes in as a slot receiver, $28.5 million. So a weapon there for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and Adam Gates does love his slot receivers.
Interesting to see what they get out of Mosley, out of Crowder. So in terms of, we'll move from the East, we'll move round to the AFC South. So in terms of business in that division, we'll start off with Indianapolis, who obviously ultimately won the division last year. So a couple of bits of business, nothing huge here. Devin Funch is in at wide receiver and re-signed Marcus Hunt. Quick thoughts on those two bits of business, mate?
Yeah, I mean, probably more on the Colts as a whole rather than just those two pieces of business. I think if you want to look for a different way to approach free agency, just go back and look at the deals that were made by Indianapolis last year, who had the most cap space to spend last year. Didn't go after the big ticket free agents. Went after the guys they felt were locker room fits and real fits with the scheme. And they had a big turnaround. Not the teams that went out and threw a lot of money in free agency. So I think it's definitely a very interesting situation, and it may be setting a bit of a precedent for some other teams to follow in the future. I mean, they've not gone after the big ticket items again this year. Sort of guys that fit. I actually like Devin Funchess signing. I think that's kind of fits the need they had. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they get on again this year.
Okay. Houston Texans. So one of the players that did receive the franchise tag, and we talked about it previously, assumed he probably would do, was Jadeveon Clowney. So he will be back for another year. I think that one was probably a no-brainer, I would have said, mate. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't think, you know, if you have talents like that on your team, you can't afford to let them go. And I think for a lot of teams that have designated a player with a franchise tag, it's more about negotiating for exclusively for a little bit longer and not letting them talk to other teams and trying to get that long-term deal done, rather than having a player. Players don't like to be on the franchise tag. You know, it's great to get the guaranteed contract for one season, but if you were to get hurt long-term, you know, seriously dents your earning potential. So I think for a lot of teams, it's just going to be a case of trying to get long-term deals done. I think that's what Houston are doing here.
Yeah. Another player they brought in just on a one-year deal, a little bit surprising with this one, just in terms of the volume of cash thrown his way. Bradley Roby, the cornerback, he's in on a one-year prove-it deal. Probably seems a little bit pricey, I would suggest. I think we touched on, it's not necessarily a great year if you needed cornerback help in free agency. But Bradley Roby backing himself to go back into the market next year with that as a one-year deal?
I think that probably suits both parties, even if the cash is a little high. We know that it's a good defensive draft this year, so Houston get a chance to try and pick up a corner somewhere in the draft, get a year to see them both play. They'll either decide to pay Roby next year or move on with a rookie or head into next year's free agency class after a corner. So I think it probably suits both sides.
Okay, move around to Tennessee. A couple of bits of business here that sort of jumped out. So Adam Humphries, slot receiver from Tampa, four-year deal, $36 million. I was a little bit surprised by that in terms of the cash amount. I've seen bits of Humphries, you know, I think he's a decent player. $36 million seems like a big number, but that bit of business is reportedly going to be done. Roger Saffold, guard from the Rams, talked about the Rams needing to keep that O-line intact, and Saffold was probably seen as one of those key pieces. Unfortunately for the Rams, he's not been retained, and he comes across to Tennessee on a four-year deal. And Kenny Vaccaro, a year after signing a one-year prove-it deal with the Titans, gets 4 years more. With up to $26 million in that contract. So three, you know, sort of fairly reasonable bits of business there in terms of cash from the Titans. Not any one of them, I would say, an absolute household name or superstar, but I certainly think three three players that will bring some solid play at the positions that they obviously are.
Yeah, again, they definitely filled the needs on the roster, not just gone after shiny new toys. I think I like the Roger Saffold signing, especially some of these quarterbacks in the NFL. I know I spoke about it before, and I don't want to bore people, but you've got to keep these guys upright. Like, if you don't keep the quarterback upright, what chance has anybody else got? You know, if you sign Adam Humphries and you can't keep Marcus Mariota clean long enough to throw in the ball, then what's the point? So I like that signing. I think I'd like to see more teams be aggressive in trying to protect the quarterback rather than saying, "Yeah, we'll kick that can down the road and take a guy in a draft and see how it pans out."
No, couldn't agree more, mate. Couldn't agree more. Talking of starting quarterbacks, last team in the division, Jacksonville Jaguars. I think probably fairly safe to say this will be the biggest contract of free agency this year. So Nick Foles going for potentially a deal up to $102 million. Huge signing. We talked about it previously. Probably made the most sense in terms of a team needing a quarterback. Obviously, the move to cut Blake Bortles is expected to go down this week. So Nick Foles gets the starting gig. He's still only 30 years of age. For me, I think he's improved as his career has gone on. He hasn't necessarily started as many games as he would have obviously liked in recent years. But when he sort of entered the league, he had that one phenomenal season where I think he threw for about 27, 28 touchdowns and only a couple of interceptions. And then obviously his career sort of went a little bit backwards for a few years. Obviously re-signed with the Eagles and got the opportunity a couple of years ago through the playoff run. Ended up a Super Bowl MVP and played well down the stretch and into the playoffs again this year when Wentz got re-injured. So I actually think that this could turn out to be... I'm reluctant to use the word bargain when we talk about such a ridiculous amount of... When you think of what the quarterback market might look like in 3 years' time, when you consider some of the money that's being paid out here, it could prove to be a really good bit of business. So just quickly your views on that, mate, with it being probably, like I say, probably the most lucrative contract we're going to see.
I definitely agree with what you said there. At the end, a lot of these contracts in 3 years' time will look like bargains. When you see them signed, you see the flashy headline, it says, highest paid whatever in NFL history, you think that's a lot of money. Then in 3 years' time, it looks like a bargain because all the guys are now trying to beat that contract and the ones that have come since. So, I mean, I'm a little bit less optimistic about him in Jacksonville. I've got to be honest. I think it was an obvious one. And I definitely applaud the Jaguars for going through with it, doing, you know, making the move. Their window to win is kind of now, so they have to do everything they can. There's an old saying that you hear a lot on TV when you're watching the football, that the backup quarterback is the best, is the fans' favorite player on the team, and I just hope that's not the case here. I'd like to see him do well. Because I actually enjoyed watching the Jags play the year before last. I thought they were a great team, great on defense. I think they just need to become more balanced. He still needs someone to throw the ball to, you know. So I think the signing makes sense. I don't think you can argue with the money because I think you have to pay what it takes to get the guy you want. Yeah. You know, if they let him go, there's no way they could roll into the season with Blake Bortles. And that means using draft capital to move up and actually get the quarterback because we know there's only a couple of them in this year's draft worth going after.
No, I agree. It'd be interesting. I'll say optimistic, fingers crossed for Foles. I think it's a nice story. And look, so let's hope that he, you know, makes the most of the opportunity that's going to present itself to him. Let's move west. So Kansas City Chiefs, first bit of business was to slap the franchise tag onto Dee Ford. Again, I kind of predicted that one. Again, I think similar to the Clowney situation. Makes sense. I think Dee Ford had a good season last season, but that really is his breakout season. So I think this is a chance for the Chiefs to just see whether he can reproduce that kind of form. And then I think he'll get a monster deal next year, I would suggest.
It's scary to see some of those players who perform brilliantly in a contract year, because it's happened so many times before and you never see it again. You know, that the contract year ones scare me. It's when you've got a player on a rookie deal and he's played well for 3 years and you want to extend him early, that's great. But when they perform just the one contract year, that gets me a little nervous, I've got to be honest.
No, absolutely. And certainly the defence, as we talked all throughout last season, was Kansas City's weakness. I think they've made an excellent move here, though, in terms of the safety position, bringing in the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, a three-year deal, $42 million. So certainly, you know, plenty of cash going his way. But I think that's an excellent move. I think he's a really dynamic player. And I think he's certainly going to improve the secondary there for the Chiefs. Last bit of business for the Chiefs, again, a little bit of an under-the-radar move. Carlos Hyde, running back, signed on a one-year deal. I actually feel a little bit for Carlos Hyde. He came into the Browns last year, performed reasonably well. You know, certainly not a disaster by any stretch of the imagination. I think was traded because of the amount of players that the Browns had at their disposal there, and ultimately he went to Jacksonville, and obviously we all know what happened with the Jags last year. So, you know, a great opportunity for Hyde there with the Chiefs, you know, to sort of get back to playing some good football. The Chargers, a couple of big contracts handed out here to linebackers. So one was a re-signing, which was a little bit of a surprise just based on the volume of injuries in the games that he's missed. But Denzel Perryman, 2 years, $12 million. And then Thomas Davis, who for me is an excellent linebacker, comes across from Carolina. 2 years, $10.5 million on that one. Just thoughts on the Chargers sort of really investing there in the linebacking corps, right?
Yeah, I think they've obviously identified an Achilles heel there. And they've made moves to address it. I think with Denzel Perryman, you're right, the injury history has got to have you worried a little bit. But then again, it's also difficult to take in a lot of these players that you don't know. You don't know their history other than, you know, the on-field tape. So sometimes I think it's better the devil you know, sign a guy that you've had in the building, you've had for a number of years. I kind of like that. And with Thomas Davis, I mean, it's a great signing. I like him as a player. He's obviously up there in age a little bit, but it's always hard to see some of these players play in different uniforms. I mean, that's really just a sentimental side of me, but it's just, you know, when you see a guy like that who's been at a team for so long, it'd just be a bit weird seeing him somewhere else. But I think it's a good signing.
Yeah, no, I agree. Denver, couple of bits of business. So Kareem Jackson, cornerback, comes in on a three-year deal. So we talked that they lost Bradley Roby. They bring in Kareem Jackson. So ironically, those two players effectively swapping teams. And Juwan James, so the tackle from the Dolphins, $51 million over 4 years. Just get your views on that as a Dolphins fan, mate.
As a Dolphins fan, I wanted him back in Miami. I think Miami wanted him back by all accounts. It was a case of they had a number and they wanted to stick to it, and he's actually become the highest paid right tackle in the NFL. I don't think he's worth quite that much. So it just depends whether you're willing to overspend that little bit to get your guy, as we've seen with a lot of these contracts, and I think that's what they've done. I mean, he's getting paid more than Lane Johnson at right tackle, and I don't think they're the same level as each other personally. But I think it's a good signing. He's going to go there and do the job they're paying him for. So, you know, yeah, I think that's a good signing.
Okay. A little bit of old news in terms of the Broncos, but we haven't talked about it since it went down. Obviously, a significant trade. So Joe Flacco is going to be quarterback in the Broncos. Obviously, he's won a Super Bowl in the past. He's sort of probably lived off that for the last 5 years, if we're all being honest. He hasn't necessarily reproduced. I think he's got a record of about 500 since then. Again, for new people into the game, 500 effectively, he's won as many games as what he has lost. What do you sort of make of that as a move? He was obviously going to move on from the Ravens. The Broncos effectively, you know, taking another swing on a quarterback. They've never replaced Peyton Manning. Do you think Flacco, even as a short-term answer, provides the answer for them?
Personally, I'd probably rather have just stuck with Case Keenum and kept the assets. You know, I wasn't a big Flacco fan before he won the Super Bowl. I thought that, you know, it was a great run to get to the Super Bowl, and they played well in the Super Bowl and obviously won that game. But that was more the outlier than the norm. And you saw that afterwards after getting a huge deal from Baltimore, which really, this is the thing that some teams are going to have to look at with some young quarterbacks. You know, once you pay a guy, it really hamstrings what you can do with the rest of the team. All of a sudden, he has to play at a level that really does raise the talent around him. So I think it made sense. Baltimore needed to move on. They've clearly got their guy, and that meant he had no real place in Baltimore. So I get that. I wonder how many swings John Elway is really going to get at this in Denver, because other than Peyton Manning, I'm not being funny, any of us knew Peyton Manning would work in any team. That didn't take a, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback to work that out. So I wonder how many swings he's going to get. I believe that they still want Drew Lock in the draft, so I don't think that changes that plan at all. I just think that they take him and sit him behind an experienced quarterback for a year. Joe Flacco's not going to like that anymore in Denver than he did in Baltimore, but hey, that's the road they've chosen.
No, absolutely, mate. Final team over in the West, and I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on this because I can't figure them out at all. The Oakland Raiders, who appeared absolutely destined to blow everything up and gain as many assets as they could, now appear set on a spending spree. So we've got Trent Brown, 4 years, $66 million, going to become the highest paid offensive tackle in terms of annual average in league history. LaMarcus Joyner, 4 years, $42 million at the safety position. And obviously the big news really through this whole period has been the trade for Antonio Brown. Now, in terms of the picks that they've given up, I think that's phenomenal business. A third and a fifth round pick for arguably the best wide receiver in the game. I don't think I'm going to argue with that. And I think, you know, I don't think a lot of people will. But obviously that comes with a big contract restructure. And that's another load of money that's being paid out. There's also rumours, and hopefully, if this podcast drags out any longer, we'll get news on where Le'Veon Bell. That might be the Raiders as well. It seems all of a sudden that they flipped the switch on this rebuild, and it's gone from being the 10-year John Gruden plan to actually let's try and win a bit in year two and see if we can accelerate this. So just really interested to hear your thoughts, mate, on the aggressiveness of the Raiders so far here.
I still like what the Raiders are doing. I know they've spent a lot, but hey, it's there to spend. I think that probably the main point is that this is what happens when you change regime. When you change the front office, bringing in Mike Mayock and letting Reggie McKenzie go, you change philosophy. You know, you started off down one path with the GM, and obviously him and Gruden didn't get along. That was clearly a situation that had to change, as it did. But now you get a new GM who's on board with the head coach. So I think that's why you see the quite different, you know, quite the change in direction for this team. But I still actually really like a lot of the moves they've made. If you think about it kind of on a whole, they managed to swap Amari Cooper for a first round pick and only give up a fifth and a third. Sorry, was it a third and a fifth?
Yeah,
third and a fifth to get Antonio Brown. So, you know, I think they come out as winners on that. That's, you know, Amari Cooper played well in Dallas, but, you know, I'd still rather take Antonio Brown over him. I think the left tackle, the interesting part about that is probably the fact that the Patriots didn't want to pay him that much money, you know, because they're going to get a third round compensation pick in next year's draft for not re-signing him, and obviously the Raiders have plenty of cash to spend. The only other thing is obviously look out for the Raiders as a dark horse maybe for Kyler Murray in the draft.
That'll be interesting to watch. Certainly interesting. Obviously we've also had the news that it looks like they will be playing in Oakland for at least another year. We'll finish off the AFC in the North, so I'll pick up most of this, obviously being the biased Browns fan on the podcast this week. And in terms of that, I've got to say I'm absolutely loving what's happening in this division from my point of view. So the Ravens have re-signed Nick Boyle, who I don't think he's going to frighten anybody. And more importantly, I think the Ravens have lost a ton. So they've lost Terrell Suggs, they've lost Eric Weddle, lost CJ Mosley, lost John Brown. There's an awful lot of talent that appears to have gone from the Ravens. Obviously, still early in the free agency period, so we'll see what they do to respond to that. In terms of the Bengals, quite possibly one of the most bizarre contracts given out so far in free agency is re-signing Bobby Hart, tackle. I think everybody that watches will tell you that Cincinnati's weakness is offensive tackle. So re-signing one that's well below average, in my opinion, isn't necessarily going to be the way to fix that. But that's the only bit of business that's gone down there. In terms of the Steelers, we just talked about the fact that they've obviously now got the Antonio Brown saga in the rearview mirror. So they've lost Brown. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell is going to sign somewhere, not at Pittsburgh. So that's another sort of big, two of the big three Bs, if you like, of Ben, Brown and Bell are going to be gone. Only bit of really sort of business that the Steelers have done is actually just re-sign one of their own in terms of Ramon Foster, the guard. So again, not a huge amount of business being done. So that does clear the path for the Browns to actually get really aggressive here. They haven't necessarily gone overly aggressive, I would say, at the moment in terms of the business that they have done, but they've re-signed Greg Robinson, who came in and sort of performed admirably at tackle last year. He's got a one-year prove-it deal, which is, I think, is the right way to go with him, because, again, he's another sort of high draft pick that hasn't necessarily worked out throughout his career, but he gets an opportunity now for a one-year deal with the Browns. Similar bit of news on Breshad Perriman, the deep threat wide receiver, who, again, did nothing as a first-round pick for the Baltimore Ravens, did admirably in half a dozen or so games for the Browns at the back end of last year, so he's back on a one-year deal. The big free agent sort of signing at the moment is Sheldon Richardson, defensive tackle, 3 years, $36 million. I personally love that as a bit of business. I think he's a really good, disruptive interior defensive lineman. And I think on that defensive line, it looks pretty terrifying on paper, at least. And that includes the new addition via trade of Olivier Vernon. So that went down on Friday of last week. So the Browns traded the right guard Kevin Zeitler to the Giants and essentially swapped with Olivier Vernon. Zeitler wasn't cheap. He was the highest paid guard in the NFL at the time of his contract. Olivier Vernon certainly isn't cheap. However, as we've said before, the Browns always seem to have a ton of cap space. I'm a sort of believer that cap space is a little bit overrated. And we've talked about that a little bit in terms of the Eagles, and we'll touch on that in a bit more depth shortly. But I think the Browns have certainly got plenty of flexibility to pull off this move. I think there's every chance that if Olivier Vernon has a good season, that deal gets renegotiated into a 3 or 4 year extension anyway, and the cap numbers will be what they will be. But potentially a front four of Vernon, Miles Garrett, Ogunjobi and Sheldon Richardson. Certainly he's going to get after opposing quarterbacks. So still plenty of optimism, as you can tell from me. I think the Browns are really trending in the right direction, as the rest of the division would appear on paper, at least, to be trending the opposite way. So fingers crossed that continues. That's all the AFC. So into the NFC, and we'll start off with the Arizona Cardinals. So I mentioned Terrell Suggs. You said earlier, Lee, about seeing players playing a different uniform. How weird will it be after 16 years to see Terrell Suggs in a different uniform?
It will be really weird. I did see, actually, when watching NFL Network last night, that he actually played at Arizona in college and his home is in Arizona. So I'm guessing it won't be so weird for him, but it'll certainly be weird for us fans watching seeing him not run out in purple.
No, absolutely. The other bit of business that the Cardinals have done is they've brought in Jordan Hicks as another linebacker. So obviously boosting their linebacker corps there. Obviously on the redraft exercise that we did, I suggested that was probably the area of the defense that probably needed some reinforcements, and obviously that's the direction that they have gone so far in terms of the additions that they have made. Moving around in the West, and let's go to the 49ers. So the big one that's obviously reported from the 49ers perspective is Kwon Alexander. So again, another linebacker getting paid handsome money, $54 million over 4 years. Good year to be a linebacker, mate. Plenty of cash being thrown around here, isn't there? What's your thoughts?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on Kwon?
I like Kwon Alexander. I don't like the deal though. I think it's a lot of money for a guy coming off an ACL injury. Especially as we said that you know this deal's done in principle. They've not met him. He's not been for a you know a thorough physical. They don't know the injury history more than what the agent has told them. Obviously, it's not in his interest to tell them that he's, you know if there's any problems. So. I'm surprised. I thought he would get more proven deal like we've seen with some of these other players. But I do like him as a player if he can return to, you know, full health.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Other two in the division, so Seattle, haven't done a lot, but I think, again, one that I predicted, I was kind of hoping he might get to free agency because I really like him as a player, was Frank Clark, but the defensive end does get the tag. So no real surprise, but there are rumours that he's going to hold out and not sign that until he gets a long-term deal. Like I said, for me, I think he's an exceptionally talented player. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in terms of that one.
I believe that you can still trade for a player whilst he's under the franchise tag, can't you? So, I mean, if anyone out there wants to go and get Frank Clark, knowing that, you know, the situation with him not wanting to turn up to camp or play under the franchise tag, then, you know, there is still room for someone to go and make Seattle an offer to, you know, to get him out of Seattle.
Yeah, no, absolutely, mate. Be interesting if anybody does, because I certainly think he's a talented individual who will improve a lot of teams. In terms of the Rams, so obviously Super Bowl runners-up, they've re-signed Dante Fowler effectively to a one-year prove-it deal. $14 million, a lot of money to prove yourself, but effectively that's what they're asking him to do. Probably will replace Ndamukong Suh, I would suggest, in terms of Suh got that deal last year, and I think Fowler gets it this year. I don't think Suh will be back, so he'll be a big name to keep an eye on over the coming 24-48 hours. And I think one bit of excellent business for me is Eric Weddle. 2 years, $12.5 million. They lose LaMarcus Joyner, but I think Eric Weddle comes in. He might be a little bit older, but I actually think in terms of production, they're going to get just as good, if not better, production from Weddle for a lot less salary there.
Yeah, that's a great move. I mean, unfortunately, my team is not in a position to go after older free agents, really. But, I mean, I would have loved to have seen Eric Weddle on my team. I think he's that sort of player that you can't help but enjoy watching play.
No, absolutely. NFC South. So, New Orleans Saints. One bit of, I don't know if it's surprising business. I think Teddy Bridgewater re-signed. I think it's great news for the Saints. And I think Sean Payton's been very complimentary, almost suggesting that Teddy Bridgewater is the heir to Drew Brees. I thought Teddy might have tested himself in terms of sort of hopefully landing with an opportunity to start somewhere this year. But I think it's a little bit of bittersweet for Saints fans. I think the dawning of the fact that Brees is probably only going to be around for one more year is probably there with that interview. So Teddy doesn't hit free agency. He's back with the Saints. And one, again, probably slightly surprising bit of business, Latavius Murray. 4 years running back. Only reason I say it's surprising is obviously Mark Ingram is still unsigned. Obviously, Mark Ingram might be looking for more money than what Latavius Murray has ultimately got. But obviously, they were looking for a bit more of a battering ram to go with the speed on the outside that Alvin Kamara brings. So just quick thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater, mate.
Yeah, Teddy's an interesting one. I know there was a... I don't want to keep bringing this back to the Dolphins, but I am biased. A lot of people wanted him in Miami, were hoping that he would hit the market. I mean, this is a guy that after the horrific injury in 2015, he's only played 25 games since then, and they've not been spectacular, especially at the end of last season. So I think, to be honest, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, because he's gonna, I don't know what the numbers on that deal were, but there's little chance of him getting cut during the year, being back up to Drew Brees. So that's 1 year of guarantee, you know, where he's guaranteed a salary. If Drew Brees does look to retire, then, you know, he's going to get a crack at the starting job there as well on a better team than if he leaves to go somewhere in free agency. I mean, if he was offered a starting job at one of the few teams that, you know, that need a starting quarterback, let's say a Jacksonville or a Miami or anyone that, you know, is in need of a quarterback, it's probably because they've not been that good. So, you know, I'd rather stay on that team for a little less money, but sort of guarantee my future than risk being one and done somewhere else.
No, fair point, mate. Absolutely. Rest of the division has been relatively quiet, so we can probably get through this at a pace. So Atlanta Falcons, the only thing they have done so far is they put the franchise tag onto Grady Jarrett. Again, one that was probably expected. Really good interior defensive lineman. So he is currently locked up for at least another year. Carolina Panthers announced this evening Matt Paradis, the center, on a 3-year contract, $27 million in guarantees. And Tampa Bay, again, only bit of business reported so far is the fact that Donovan Smith has re-signed on a 3-year deal for $41.25 million. So obviously the left tackle is re-signed. A little bit surprised, I would suggest, that DeSean Jackson was traded from the Bucs. I think a lot of people thought that with Arians there, that might be a relationship that he would want to hold on to. Obviously, Bruce Arians' offense relies heavily on the vertical game. So obviously the one of the best deep threats in the game goes back to the Eagles. We'll go on to the Eagles next in terms of the NFC East. And we both kind of mentioned this without delving into it, so I'll just jump in and throw my two penneth worth in here. We've talked an awful lot here about some big numbers and, you know, how these numbers might look different in 3 or 4 years' time. I think the Eagles were one of a couple of teams that had supposedly some real salary cap issues heading in to this free agency period. However, they've already been able to sign Brandon Graham, one of their own players, re-signed to a 3-year, $40 million extension. They bring in Malik Jackson, who was released from Jacksonville. He comes in on a 3-year, $30 million deal. And as I've just alluded to there, they've traded for DeSean Jackson. And again, they've paid him a handsome bit of money also. I think for me, it just proves that, yes, the salary cap is obviously important. It's there as a leveler. Teams need to stick to the rules and the regulations to comply with the salary cap. But good front offices, good general managers, they find a way to retain their best players. They find a way to restructure contracts. You know, they know how to sort of get around the issue of getting under the salary cap. So the Eagles certainly not standing still here, and obviously made some investments onto their defensive line. I think the big question for the Eagles, obviously, throughout the season is going to be what version of Carson Wentz are they going to get, which will be, you know, the real interesting one to keep an eye on, but certainly they're bolstering the defensive line. A player that Carson Wentz is going to have to look out for when he's throwing the ball, particularly when he comes up against those Washington Redskins, is quite possibly the most surprising deal of free agency. Landon Collinsley, 6 years, $84 million. Bear in mind, this guy is a safety. That's phenomenal money, probably double what any safety has got throughout the rest of this free agency period. And certainly the highest ever sort of contract given out to a safety. What's your thoughts on that bit of business from the Redskins?
It's a lot of money for a safety. I mean, Washington have never had any fears in going out and throwing money around. But, I mean, I always wonder sometimes when they've done this, they've done it in the past, if part of that money is just to try and stick it to the Giants a bit. So, I mean, it sounds petty, but that's a lot of money, especially when you think of the money that you know you could have had Eric Weddle, you could go out and get an Earl Thomas, so you didn't have to pay that much to Landon Collins. Hey, good work if you can get it, that's for sure. Especially after a slow safety market last year, definitely a bit of a shock to start free agency.
No, absolutely. It certainly made the headlines. Be interesting to see what level of production they get out of Landon Collins. He's certainly a talent, so it'll be interesting to see what he brings. In terms of the Giants, who obviously Collins has departed from, not an awful lot of business. The only thing they've really done is probably bring in Collins' replacement in Antoine Bethea, so the veteran safety comes in on 2 years. Obviously not the same caliber of player and certainly at the rear end of his career. But obviously they had a hole there to fill. So they bring in Antoine Bethea. And then the Dallas Cowboys. So DeMarcus Lawrence, I think we expected him to be franchise tagged, and he ultimately was. This is the second year running. Do you think they will find a long-term solution here with Lawrence? Do you think this is just giving them that window of opportunity, as you alluded to earlier, to actually agree on this long-term deal, or do you actually see him playing under the tag again this year?
I got to be honest, I don't think he'll play under the tag this year. I don't know how the Cowboys feel about it, but I hope for their sake that they're trying to get a deal done, because, I mean, he wasn't impressed about being under the franchise tag last year. I mean, Kirk Cousins obviously played that system to perfection, getting an awful lot of money whilst being on the tag and then turning it into a massive contract. But I think for most players, they want that long-term deal. And again, they may look to trade him. I think it's also what's probably holding up them making a decent offer to Earl Thomas is the fact that they need to know how much money they're going to have available to spend after signing a pass rusher, which we all know is, cost a lot of money in the NFL.
Absolutely, mate. Just to finish on the Cowboys, probably one of the most surprising moves of the offseason is Jason Witten comes out of the Monday Night Football booth, which I think will be a relief to an awful lot of people. obviously, one of the worst commentary teams in history, but that's a different story altogether. He's back out of retirement. The thing that surprised me with this was the amount of money that actually was paid out here, because surely the Cowboys were competing against absolutely nobody in terms of the bidding here, and he still gets a potentially $5 million deal. Obviously a very, very good tight end, one of the best who have ever played the game. But it just seems a little bit strange for me that after 12 months sitting out on the sideline that he would still come in and demand such a big contract. So, like I say, surely they weren't bidding against anybody, mate.
No, I can't imagine they were. I can't see that he would want to play for anybody else. So, yeah, it's a lot of money. But, hey, if that's what it costs to get him out of the commentary booth, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, mate. Let's move up into the north. So the Chicago Bears, a couple of low-key moves so far. Mike Davis, running back, being brought in. He obviously was with Seattle last year, so he'll add depth into the backfield there. And Buster Screen comes in on a 3-year deal, nickel cornerback, $16 million there. So, again, like I said, nothing particularly high profile. The Detroit Lions, they seem to want to splash a bit of cash. So Danny Amendola, you mentioned he was cut from Miami. That's where he's ended up. He ended up at Detroit. Generally a fairly reliable pair of hands. Operates mostly out of the slot. He comes in for a 1-year deal. Justin Coleman, cornerback, 4 years, $36 million. Jesse James, tight end. Surprising deal for me, this one, $25 million. Bearing in mind he was actually pretty much the backup Steelers tight end last year. That seems a big reach there. And then the big one, if you like, for the Lions is Trey Flowers, comes across from the Patriots. Obviously going to have some familiarity there with Matt Patricia. He gets 5 years worth more than $16 million per season. So it's reported to be over $90 million for the deal. Obviously, in terms of pass rusher, outside of Lawrence, who we've just said is currently sort of under this sort of tag scenario, Flowers gets the big bucks there. No real surprise in that, Lee, but $90 million. Surprised by the sheer amount?
Yeah, I am. And this isn't my bias talking, but I think you've only got to look back at the history of players to leave New England. Not many of them go on to be better outside of New England than they were in New England, even just on an individual basis. Well, you know, not just, you know, team stats. Obviously, they're going to do well in New England, but, you know, they do a lot of things where they scheme well. You know, that's why they're able to plug so many players in, you know, names that you haven't heard of. So just spending a lot of money on an ex New England player scares me a little. You know, I think this is a case of Matt Patricia needs to get things on track, and he's going to players that he knows. You know, Danny Amendola is going to bring in a presence that he knows, and the same with Trey Flowers. It's a guy he knows he can work with, knows he's going to be able to operate in the system that he wants. I mean, that obviously bodes well for Flowers, but yeah, the Patriots aren't in the habit of letting people go before they're ready.
No, absolutely, mate. They are the masters at knowing when to push the button. Nearly through all of this, it's been a busy 24, 36 hours, so apologies if this is going on for a while, but there's so many moves to talk through. We're nearly done, though, so keep going through the NFC North. Green Bay obviously wanted some help defensively, so that's where most of their moves have been made. So Adrian Amos comes in at safety. Obviously weakens a division rival because he comes in from the Bears. And then they've added two players on the edge, probably more stand-up linebacker types in Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith. So obviously I think that's a suggestion that they're moving on from Clay Matthews, bringing in two younger guys there. But they're signing $52 and $66 million contracts respectively. We've already talked about linebackers getting paid big money. Another two examples here, mate, of players, you know, really cashing in on this free agency period.
Yeah, I think Green Bay, are, you know, making moves that make sense. That team was severely lacking in talent in certain positions, and they need a defense that can play up to Aaron Rodgers' standard on offense. They need to be able to keep them in games, so Aaron Rodgers can do his thing, because, you know, last year they weren't able to keep up their side of the deal. And, you know, then you end up paying Aaron Rodgers star quarterback money, which he obviously deserves, but to be on a team that can't win because, you know, he's hamstrung by a side of the ball that he has no impact in. So I think these moves make sense to try and rectify that problem, become a little bit more balanced.
Yep, couldn't agree more. Final team in the division, Minnesota Vikings. Only real bit of news is what we discussed earlier. So Anthony Barr looked like he was going to go to the Jets, had a sleep on it, and ultimately decided no, he was going to go back to Minnesota. So it looks like he's going to end up back at home. I am just checking. Is that everybody? I think we have done everybody there, haven't we, mate? There's nobody that we've missed.
I think that is. Just as a slight aside for the Minnesota Vikings, there was a cryptic tweet from Ndamukong Suh the other day saying, where do you guys think I'm off to next, the Arctic or Minnesota? So, I mean, read into that what you will, but maybe he's looking to get a deal in Minnesota.
Well, they've obviously got an opportunity there with Sheldon Richardson moving, so that'll free up a space in the middle of that defense. So it'll be interesting to see. Sue's certainly going to be one of the big names that is still to be confirmed. Just in terms of that, obviously, we're recording this on Tuesday. Just some of the big names that aren't confirmed as of yet at the time of recording. Le'Veon Bell, it would appear from all the cryptic tweets that seem to be players' obsession these days that he's found somewhere, but he's not announced it yet. Earl Thomas, as we mentioned, Cowboys rumoured to be very interested. But again, obviously no update there. Justin Houston was released by the Chiefs late into this period. I would expect that he will get somewhere fairly quickly. Sue, as we've just mentioned, as well as a number of other players. So this is just the first wave. It feels like there's been an awful lot of moves done, but I would fully expect that this will continue at a frenzied pace over the course of the coming days. Lee, one move that you would like to see for your Dolphins in free agency?
Ooh. I've got to be honest, I'm quite happy not delving into the market. We have won the off season on a couple of different occasions, and it never ends up any better than 9-7 or 7-9. So I actually think the lack of deals is probably my favourite part so far for the Dolphins, and actually cutting some of the sort of poor contracts given out by the last regime in Miami.
Interesting approach to it. I think the one for me to watch, just from a completely neutral point of view, is what sort of money Tyrell Williams ends up getting. He's been very quiet on the wide receiver front so far in the free agency period. I think Williams probably viewed as one of the best options that's out there, but as of yet, nothing doing. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Just for me, in terms of, you know, the dream scenario, what I'd like to see happen, just going to touch on it. It might never happen, but while it's been rumoured, let's quickly talk about it. The Browns continuing to potentially be aggressive. There are rumours out there that a multiple number of picks, including this year's first and potentially next year's second round pick, along with Emmanuel Ogba, who obviously now he's under pressure for his role with the trade for Olivia Vernon that we talked about earlier, potentially being packaged up for OBJ. It's absolutely unbelievable to think that 12 months on from an 0-16 season and being completely in the wilderness, that would even remotely be a possibility. But I'm all for that if it does go down. I think that'd be incredibly exciting for a fan's perspective. There's a lot of connections there in terms of OBJ with Landry and with the receivers coach that is at the Browns. They go back to their days at college together. So that is one to watch. But what is guaranteed is it's going to be wild and wacky over the course of the next few days. It always is. So look forward to it immensely. Lee, I'm sure we'll talk next week, mate, when a few more of these deals have been agreed, confirmed, and we fully know where everyone is heading. It's an exciting time of year, mate. So look forward to that immensely. Any final thoughts from you just before we close?
No, just it's great to have football news coming in at a regular speed, because in a few weeks' time, it's going to go very quiet after the draft. And we're going to miss this having news every day, you know, phones blowing up all evening. Watching these deals and rumours come through. So, yeah, definitely, I enjoy this time of year, to be honest. I think it's quite exciting.
No, absolutely, mate. And fingers crossed for you, mate, that the Dolphins don't pull the trigger on Tyrod Taylor, because that might obviously change your opinion of it altogether.
that one would upset me. There's not many deals that I don't like. I just don't see that as anything but a lateral move. And, I mean, if you want to tank to get a quarterback for next year, then I don't see how Tyrod Taylor helps. And if you're trying to win, well, I also don't see how Tyrod Taylor helps. So it's a move that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You might as well run out Ryan Tannehill or Brock Osweiler for my money.
No, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. All right. We're going to close it there. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you all next week. Obviously, continue to follow the site on All32 on Twitter and get signed up, submitting articles. Let us know your thoughts on your team's business in free agency, who's been a hit, who's been a miss, and who do you still need so that you are competitive when September rolls around. Thanks for listening, everybody, and catch you soon.